Welcome to episode 24 of the Wedding Wisdom Podcast with Doug Winters, and I am your host, Doug Winters. I'm very excited about bringing you today's episode because I got a chance to sit down with the magnificent Harriet Rose Katz. Hearing Harriet's origin story is truly like listening to Anna Wintour talking about fashion or Richard Avedon talking about photography. I could wax on about how wonderful I think Harriet is, how warm and funny and beautiful and chic and elegant, but I think that comes through in my conversation. So without further ado, here's me and Harriet. All right.
So as long as you've been in the business.
Yes. So this is very exciting for me because the name Harriet Rose Katz has always been associated with high-end weddings, high-end events. But the name Harriet Rose Katz, just not Harriet, not Mrs. Katz, not Mrs. Rose Katz, just one name, Harriet Rose Katz, like George Washington Carver. You know, just one name has always been associated with just the creme de la creme. How did you start out? Was that your goal to go for the high-end thing? Because I know you're doing the Chosen Few now.
It's always been high-end. When I started this company, I was in the interior design business running a showroom.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I ran a showroom, a Texas company. It made beautiful furniture in the Gucci building at 689 Fifth Avenue. And I ran their showroom. And I decided to go on the other end of the business. I had been in that business for 10 years and then came over to this. And around the same time, I met Marty Katz, Dr. Martin R. Katz.
See, I never knew this story. I knew if Katz was your married name or if that was your...
That was my second married name.
Okay.
My first married name was Rose, and it was Burton Rose, who died when Melissa was 8 months old.
Oh, wow.
And she... And in business, I was Harriet Rose.
Yeah.
And then when I married Marty, I was Harriet Katz, personally.
Thank you. Oh, you wanted to keep the name Harriet Rose.
I didn't know. And, yeah. And then I was Harriet Rose in business. And it was only after Marty died that I took the name Harriet Rose Katz. Because I didn't know who I was. Who knew me in business and who knew me personally.
What was your maiden name?
Myers.
Okay.
So it was interesting. So I'm working in the showroom.
Right.
And they asked me if I wanted to do Designer Saturday, which was one day a month. Everybody, every showroom.
It was called Designer Saturday?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
It was called Designer Saturday. Everybody who participated wanted to get the people into their showroom, of course.
Sure.
And so they asked me what they should do. And I said, well, if you don't do in a big way, don't do it. So they said, okay, do what
you
want.
So you invented the term go big or go home.
Right. Right. And so I said, okay. Well, now I was really stumped. What was I going to do in this beautiful showroom to bring people in?
Now that you open your mouth.
So they were a Texas company. Mm. And what I wound up doing was a Texas barbecue.
I was going to guess.
1,000 people. And
did you have any idea how many people were coming?
Oh, I had a feeling.
Okay.
And we did Texas barbecue.
Oh, wow.
And we also gave away, it was the first time I ever gave away anything, gave away cactus plants to everybody who was there.
The two things that you immediately pictured with Texas.
Well, everybody who stopped, they stopped each other in the street and said, oh, my God, you should get over to Vecta. Get over to Vecta. Well, it was highly successful.
Wow. Oh, so this is almost like Fashion Week.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if they still do it, but I'll bet they still do Designer Saturday.
Interesting.
And then they did it for a number of years. And then eventually they realized that some showrooms get more people than others.
Yeah,
and so they asked me to have 5,000 little mini lunchboxes made. Which I did.
Yeah.
With a chef.
Okay,
and,
so how do you...
And every showroom had the same thing.
Oh, okay.
So there was no...
Oh, so by then, everyone picked up your idea of catering
right,
big time.
Of course.
Yeah.
So, but then my firm would come out with new and different things.
Okay.
And, you know, like after the is it pronounced ginkgo or jinko? I think it's the ginkgo tree.
Oh, yeah, ginkgo.
They did a table fashioned after the ginkgo tree.
Right.
And that table, I didn't know what to do. Ginkgo, it's Asian. I decided David Kay had opened a restaurant in New York called David Kay's. And Kay apostrophe S. He is the
man. Why do I know who that is?
Because he's the man who single-handedly changed the face of Chinese food in America.
Wow.
Took it out of the realm of chop suey houses, which was American. It never came from China. You know, chop suey.
Oh, sure.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
I decided to hire him. And, you know, dim sum for us is so boring already, right?
Yeah.
In 1978 and 79, nobody had ever even heard of dim sum. And they didn't even see, you know, the steamer baskets. Anyway, I hired boys in
Something
Nehru.
Something we see every day. Kitchens every day.
Right. White Nehru jackets. Uh-huh. In the back of the showroom, way in the offices, I had them steaming dim sum. Well, everybody went insane. Before you knew it, Vector had a better reputation for what we were serving than their furniture.
That's funny.
So anyway, around that time, I had a boss, Harm Chamberlain, a very nice man. The company was
this
bought.
This is at Vector.
At Vector.
Yeah.
A boss who was very nice to me, but I was very good to him too.
Sure.
And ran a beautiful showroom and got a phone call from him. They had been bought by Steelcase, a Midwestern company.
Okay.
Which is very...
Another furniture company?
A very big office furniture company.
Okay.
And he said to me, I just married Marty. It was in May.
Okay.
And I remember my mother and mother-in-law were sitting in the showroom, and I was sitting at the front desk.
Yeah.
And Harm said to me, what are you going to do for... Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur, sounds like
And I said, you mean what am I going to do for Yom Kippur? I'm going to close the way we do every year.
Yeah.
This is 4 years after I arrived there, some 2 years or
Oh,
something.
I see where you're going with this big Texas firm.
And he says to me, well, you can't do that anymore. You're going to have to hire someone if you're not going to be there, and you're going to have to pay for it. My mother said that I turned the color of this.
Wow.
Scarlet.
Red. Oh, just so you know, by the way,
and
that is
I,
actually called a scarlet 2i2.
That's so funny.
That is actually a scarlet.
And I said, well, you could take, well, Harm, you can take this job and shove it straight up your ass.
Good for you.
And he said, no, we can close this year. But the handwriting was on the wall.
Yeah.
And I was very young.
Start looking.
And I said, I have to now, this is why I have to go and find a business, go into a new business, and do something that has never been done, or at least by me. And I looked for a year, because if I knew if I went retail, you know, like food, retail, and my husband was into wine and food, very big into wine and food, as a lot of doctors are.
Yes, yeah, I noticed that. Yeah.
That's not good for a second marriage. So one day, I'm really thinking about this. I didn't want to look back on my life when I was 60 years old and say, oh, geez, why didn't I do something back then? I could have really made some difference in this world. One day, a guy by the name of Mario Rizzavato, who worked with me at Vector, 8 o'clock in the morning, says to me, you are so stupid. You're such a jerk. What you do for this industry, you should be doing for yourself and making money. It was as if somebody saw it off the top of my head and put a flashing light bulb in it.
Yeah.
It hit me what to do.
Wow.
I called my husband at the office, and I said, Marty, how fast can you revive the name Gourmet Advisory Services?
Oh, it's going to be my next question.
He had done for, he was a consultant.
Mm-hmm.
He was a nutritionist before there were nutritionists.
Oh, wow. In the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And he was older than me.
Yeah.
He was 8 and a half years old.
No, but
older
still,
than me. Yeah.
You don't really, now so you hear the term every day, you know.
But not then.
You should be called dietitian, if
And he
if
had done the second program for Weight Watchers.
Oh,
he designed
wow.
the second program.
Wow.
He said, today, why? And I told him the idea. He loved it. And that was it. That night, we got our first job.
What?
I know.
Before you hung out a shingle?
before we did anything, got our first job. And that was a great job. It was people we knew from the Shen, the Shen de Rochester, the world's oldest and most prestigious dining
society. Oh, my
society.
God. Okay.
You know it?
Yes. You know why I know it? Because you and I sat right over there about 20 years ago and had a
So I was the president for 16 years.
It's this. Can you explain what it is? It's a group of
people, really. Food and wine connoisseurs. A confrérie de la Chaîne de Rochester.
Okay.
And it started in 1248 in France. Was wow. brought back in 1950 in France and 1960 in the United States. And I happened to do, my God, the 40th anniversary, 20 years ago, the 40th anniversary of the Chaîne in the United States. It made the cover of a magazine. It was the most beautiful, fabulous party you've ever been to in your life.
Wow.
I did it at the Plaza. And now I was the Bailly, the chief, the Bailly, the president. But I was the Bailly for 16 years. My husband was the Bailly for a few years before that. Then I left for a little bit to become the gastronomique of the United States. It's in every major city in the
okay,
United
so
States.
What's
and the
a gastronomique? I mean, you can imagine what I can imagine what a gastronomique is.
I was in charge of all the food served at all the.
Well, what is? Is that a society? Like
it's what?
Like the confrere?
It
gastronomique?
Is. Yeah.
Oh, gastronomique is.
Yeah.
My
role was called the gastronomique of the United States.
Oh, okay.
Of the Chaîne.
I see. Okay.
Then the person I gave it to at the Chaîne wasn't doing well, so I came back and took over the Chaîne again. And then I left.
Now, this is a money
no.
earning thing. This is just
oh, no. you spent your money.
It's an honorarium.
Yeah, you spent your money doing this.
I'll bet.
And then I realized that I had this great business going. I needed to spend more time on my business.
Yeah.
And so I left the Chaîne.
Okay.
I don't really know how many years ago it was. 20.
Yeah.
And probably about 10 years ago.
Right.
And of course, my business flourished even more. Can you hear me from here?
Yeah. Yeah.
But before that, my business, there were no party planners. There was no such thing. In 1978.
This is the one thing that Susan Holland said, is that late 1970s,
correct.
It didn't exist. The term did not exist.
No, it did not exist. And I was doing, you know, a woman did a wonderful wedding for her daughter. And she should be in business, but there was nothing. I started off doing corporate parties. That was the first call I got.
Okay. Well, that's really where you started with the furniture thing. It was really a corporate party.
And then that call I got that day
yeah.
was from, what the hell was the name of the company? I'll think of it in a minute. And we did their party at Dionysus.
Mm.
It was a Christmas party that they hired us to do.
Don't you love Christmas parties?
Okay, I do. And we do a lot of them. So I started doing corporate parties. And then one day, chairman of a company said to me, Harriet, I need you to do my daughter's wedding. And I said,
oh, you hadn't done private affairs.
I don't do weddings. I do corporate. He said, well, now you do. And there I was.
In other words, open checkbook.
No. Oh, no.
No. Okay.
I don't think anybody really has an open checkbook.
No such
a
thing.
Few people.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but it's a very different thing to do these personal parties.
Yeah, oh, tell me about it.
And I will tell you that I had a wonderful time.
Sure.
Doing this. And before you know it, everything was happening. And I stayed at Vecta for a year, planning my business on them. Still doing work
while you were
for
getting
them.
A paycheck. But,
exactly.
Yeah.
My big $23,000 a year. When I found my husband turned around to me one day and said, Harriet, you are at the dawn of a new industry.
Wow.
And you are so ahead of everybody else.
That's why the name Harriet, you just, God, did you
said,
come full
you
circle and answer
and
that
said,
question perfectly?
But what am I going to do for money? And he said, Harriet, you're $23,000 a year. Oh. He said, look, you can always go back.
Yeah.
But I never once looked. I enjoyed everything I did. And I never, there were so many people who after me started to grow out of control. I would never let that happen to me. I held it down. I wouldn't take more jobs than I could do because I knew that every job had to be perfect.
That is so great. Would you like to know what my second question, that I almost never write anything down, but well, getting to speak with Harriet Rose Katz is literally like having a, you know, sitting with the Pope or whatever,
oh, thank you.
Whatever our industry is, you know, the top. And my second question was, how have you kept this sterling reputation since I know about the business like 27, 28 years ago? How
it's
like,
40 years.
Yeah. So if I've been around for like 30 years and your name instantly was the first name I heard, and if you say it now, it's got the exact same pristine response.
We're very fair to everybody.
But that's very smart. But you answered that question by saying I didn't take any parties. I didn't take extra parties that I knew I couldn't take care of.
They had to be perfect.
It has to be perfect.
So if you have to refuse it, you refuse it.
Yeah.
They wanted to change the date, they could change the date.
Right.
But that's how so many people got into trouble. They took on, they grew too fast.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't grow so fast. And I did that on purpose.
Yeah.
The only employee I had was Claudia.
Right.
Who
that's
in
her
high
daughter,
school,
by the way.
No, that's my niece.
Oh, Claudia's. Oh, Melissa's your daughter.
That's right.
Right.
And Trish, who's also working for me.
Okay.
What I had was Claudia schlepping from high school on weekends, schlepping my little bag behind me and working for me. And through high school, college, husband, babies, she's been
this
with
is
me.
The Harriet, this is the Claudia Warner that I know.
That's
I don't know
correct.
If her last name is still.
It's the same, Claudia
okay.
Warner.
Yeah.
And Melissa joined us. We always knew that when she had a baby, she would join us. And that was 18 years ago. And so she joined us while she was still pregnant around 19 years ago. And she worked at the Hyatt for Jeff Becker.
Do you know that Jeff Becker used to live a block and a half away from me?
Wow.
His son and my son were really
well, now his
close
son
friends.
Is at Cipriani doing catering. He's off-premise catering at Cipriani.
Yeah.
And Jeff is the president of Foremost.
Oh, he moved up. Okay.
Oh, he's a wonderful man.
Yeah.
And so anyway.
Tell him I said hi if you see him.
I will.
Please.
And then with Melissa came Enza and Dina.
Okay.
18 years ago. But get back to the beginning. We had.
So you kept it a family operation, which was beautiful.
This is a family operation.
Yeah.
And those who work for us are part of our family. So Marty died in 1987, on December 11th, 1987. And my first real employee was supposed to start, my assistant, who was Eddie Schoenfeld, who owns Red Farm. He was a very dear friend of mine.
Yeah.
You never heard of Red Farm?
Where is Red Farm? It sounds familiar.
It's in Manhattan.
Oh.
They're Chinese restaurants, the likes of which you've never been.
Oh, are you kidding?
Nice Jewish boy. Anyway, his first wife, he's on number three now. She was supposed to work for me. And then Marty died that day, so she started a week later.
Did he die suddenly? I'm sorry to
bring
it up.
No, he had terrible cancer.
Oh.
Terrible. He was very young. He was 49.
Wow.
And the other one was 35.
Holy
so,
cow.
Anyway, Marty died, and I'm saying, oh boy, what now?
Now what? Yeah.
Even though I had 51% of the business, he had 49, and at the end, he gave me the other 49%. And I remember saying to him, well, why don't we do 50-50? He said, no, Harriet. I have Dr. Martin R. Katz. This is yours.
Yeah.
And he taught me so much, that man. And
about running a business or?
About everything.
Yeah.
About food, about wine. I knew a lot about
wine,
food.
About wine, yeah.
But I didn't know about wine. He taught me about wine. Now I'm building this gorgeous wine cellar here.
No kidding. In
the apartment, yeah.
Oh, wow.
You know, when we do this thing, this, and we're going to start, I think, next month. I know a lot about wine.
Yeah.
But I can always learn more.
But that's also a great thing when someone's asking you.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I want
so
to
So we have something
restaurants.
That really nobody really has, this knowledge of food and wine that most people don't have.
Right.
And I, you know, anyway, so what happened was that we had Melissa join us. Cordy joined after college.
I remember her being a baby coming in, like really young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's fantastic.
Yeah.
Both of these girls book so much business, I can't tell you. So how I've scaled this company now is it's me. Then the next level is Melissa and Claudia.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next level is Janet. Janet's with me 18 years as well.
Oh, wow.
And Leslie. Leslie's doing a lot of the corporate work. Janet was my assistant until we moved her up. And then we went through a lot of not so nice.
Yeah, of course.
And we got Leslie. Been here 15 years. And now she does the corporate. Janet does a lot of not-for-profit, corporate, social, everything. But I work with her.
Right.
And then we have Dana and Amanda as the next level down. They're in their late 20s. And then we have Enza, who works with Melissa at the Hyatt as well. And now we have this lovely girl who just graduated from college in Boca. And she just started a month ago, and she's great. So I have layered the company. There's always younger people.
I was just going to say, that's the key. I'm able to spend so much time with each client, you know, that I really get to know them intimately. It's great. I love that. And that's what it sounds like what you're doing.
It's a real business.
Yeah, of course.
It's a major business.
That's a major.
I know. We forgot about you.
I know.
You have to come back.
I'd love to.
We have. What I love so much is that, like, the people I'm meeting today.
Oh, yes. Oh, by the way, I just want this to be said, is that Harriet is sick. She had food poisoning from sushi last night, and she's got a cold, and she got a toe operation. She's got an appointment at the Pierre. She has to leave in very soon. So this is all borrowed time, so I appreciate it so much, Harriet.
So I just want to say, it was not only I who got food poisoning, other people.
Yeah. No, you said one other person.
One other person.
Yeah.
I've heard from. I haven't heard from the other.
Oh, okay. That's
and
true.
I had to call her and ask, are you okay? Why are you asking? Because I'm not okay. No, I'm not okay, she said.
Why was she afraid to say? Because she.
How do I know?
Yeah.
Okay, so. but I get calls. People, I did the kids' bat mitzvah. Then I did her sweet 16. Then I did her wedding.
Oh, no.
And all the events around it.
Yeah.
Then I did her baby naming or her bris. Then I did a bar mitzvah for the kids.
And now, wow.
And now weddings. Doesn't it make you feel old?
It does. You know what I have noticed in terms of the men dressing? When I was first starting, and I'm sure when you were first starting, every party that I did was black tie. Certainly every wedding
it's
I did
now.
Was black tie.
Although people are coming back to black tie.
Yeah?
The guys all look alike. Some people want long, some people want short, you know, for the women.
Yeah, the women, yeah.
The guys.
To me, it makes it.
Even if it's black tie.
Yeah.
Women, some will wear long or some will wear short.
Right.
There was a time that was only long. Then there was a time that was only short. Now women wear what they want. But I find that parties are more casual in appearance, in what the people wear.
Yeah, like I did this fabulous party that's on my website that I love, and I was disappointed that the people weren't wearing black tie. Because that was the, but you know
I
what?
I just they did said, an invitation Saturday
it was in Fairfield,
night
Connecticut. It's like Connecticut, you don't wear black tie in Connecticut, they were saying. Right. You know, they say you can be a multi-billionaire, it doesn't matter.
Bruce Plotkin, he's the one in Connecticut, the photographer that I dealt with.
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned one before.
No, I mentioned Melanie Lust.
I don't know her.
She's in Westport. She is spectacular.
I don't know her.
I'll send you her information.
Yes,
he's
you
wonderful.
Should know her.
She's great. You really should. She's really an amazing photographer. So the secret to a successful wedding is?
Giving them what they want within the realm of good taste. And most of the weddings we do, the people do have good taste. But then there are things that they want that are off the wall. Like, I want an outdoor wedding. I don't care what the weather is. Well, that can't happen. I know people are crazy. 20 years ago, I had a wedding. They were so different from each other, these kids. One was not a kid. He was not a kid.
Right.
And they wanted to, he was a lawyer. And I don't remember what she was, teacher. And She only wanted outdoors. So we go, they found a place. They came and got me, brought me up to the place. It was called the Inn at Westport. We brought in a kosher caterer.
Okay.
Otherwise, they couldn't. They'd have to do their food, and they didn't like their food. They didn't like it.
Right.
She wants to get married outdoors at the water. And I said, and what are you going to do to protect your guests? And she said, we'll just run inside. I said, there's no way. I'm not doing this wedding. I refuse. And so it was a battle. She agreed that at a certain point during the day, she would make the decision and we would move it inside before, way before. The wedding day comes. The forecast is horrendous. Like I've never heard in my life.
Right.
It was, you know, major thunderstorms.
Right.
I got up there early, like 12.
Like, what time
no,
is the service?
Like, a, not, like 9 or 10. And I said to her, it's going to, and this wedding was called for 2 o'clock, and she wanted a black tie.
Right.
And I said to her, you have to move it inside. This is a major weather forecast. She said, I am not moving it inside.
Wow.
I said, well, you listen to me, little girl. You're going to have a disaster. And I want to know at 12 o'clock whether or not we're setting up the ceremony inside. I will be right down here at this phone right here. We didn't have cell phones, so it was more than 20 years ago.
Right.
I will be waiting at this extension. And at 12 o'clock, she called me. And she said, we have to move it inside. I said, yes, you do. So at 2 o'clock, guest starts to arrive. And at 2:30, the sky opens up like you have never seen in your life. Rain.
This is literally when the ceremony would have been.
Exactly right.
And everyone sitting in black tie. Right.
But we had them safely inside.
Yeah. What was the end of the David Kay story?
Oh, David Kay. We had all these boys.
But you said he changed
the face of Chinese food. And I had all these people in White Nehru in
because they had never seen steamers.
And nobody ever saw a steamer or dim sum before. They didn't know what it was. So, of course, it was like we were cutting edge.
So this is David Kay, not David Chang.
David Kay. David Chang wasn't even alive.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
David Kay drank, womanized, and drugged himself to death. It's really unfortunate because he was the most brilliant of all.
Really? American or Chinese?
No, Chinese.
Wow.
But it was, I was, when I left Vector, I went to work in my father's office, share an office space with him. And I needed new caterers. I was using, I don't remember who. And I got the name of Susan Holland.
Mm.
And as one of the three caterers.
I just cannot picture you together.
I know. But and when I interviewed her, there was something about her that she had a Jewish sensibility and this bizarre downtown Soho look.
Yes, exactly.
With that pink, green, purple, yellow, and blue hair. And
crew cut.
Crew cut. And, but I liked her.
Yeah.
Very much. And I called my husband and I said, I think I found the caterer for us. He said, invite her over. So came over that day and we had drinks together and we started talking. And that is where we came up with Peking duck. My husband came up with that, which had been served in restaurants, but never at a party.
Right.
Never. And then we served it at the buffet. And then after that, we served it.
And what was people's reaction the very first time they saw
Lord,
it?
Flipped.
They just kept coming back for more.
Of course. It was just an unbelievable thing.
Yeah.
And she was great. And we worked together for many years. We grew up in this industry together.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, we went our separate ways.
Sure.
We love each other. And we
She's wonderful. She speaks so highly of you.
Yeah, and I speak so highly of her.
Yeah.
I'm so happy she got married to this nice man.
I know, yeah.
And she's living whoever expected
that. Yeah, she said he's retired. And she says, but I can't retire.
You can't.
She says, I'd like to be able to retire so he can enjoy his a little more, but I got to stay in it.
She's wonderful. And I just loved her. It's something we will always hold each other very dearly.
Harriet, I will tell you one thing that your time is incredibly valuable, and I truly appreciate you giving me this time.
Thank you.
Especially on a day like today. But I was not just, you know, trying to, you know, be sycophantic. I really meant that. Like, you have always been the creme de la creme in my mind. Thank you. Harriet Rosecast. Boom.
Thank you. I try to be very fair.
Oh, you've always had a wonderful approach. I've never heard a bad thing about you, ever.
Thank you, sweetheart. And I don't BS people. If I can't use your style, I can't use it.
Yeah.
And now we have different styles too. You know, every client wants something different. And
well, we had very different styles also, because especially when I was young and I was coming up, I was dying to work with you. But my style was very almost kind of raw-ish.
Right, which maybe is wonderful now.
It may be very. It is wonderful. Yeah.
So we should interview you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should come in and see the office, you know, and we'll interview.
Start from scratch, yeah.
I don't know where we'll be because we're going to start construction and, you know, demolition and renovation and everything.
Just let's not meet wherever you had the bad sushi last night.
Oh, my God. Can you believe? So, in the meantime, thank you very, very much, Doug. I'm so happy that you came in.
Oh, I'm delighted.
I really am.
This is really great.
And you feel free to call me with anything.